Chapter 21. "Technically speaking," Jason said, "I'm still on vacation."
"For how long?"
Zek asked. "For as long as Master Skywalker tells me I'm on vacation."
Zek shrugged. "Enjoy it while it lasts."
"I plan to. I just feel a little odd, seeing the rest of you shipping out to Kashyyyk while I'm getting bronzed out on the reef."
"You've earned your leave," Zek said. "You earned your leave in ways I don't even want to think about. Don't worry about it."
Jason, Zek, and the other newly made Jedi Knights were at the reception thrown in their honor by Cal Umas. The room was huge and marble-lined and featured a pair of tinkling fountains ornamented by frolicking bronze fish. The freshly minted Jedi Knights still wore their Jedi robes and lightsabers and carried drinks in their hands. Older Jedi and politicians and military stood about and made polite conversation. Zek looked around the gathering.
"This is really strange," he said. "What are all these people doing here?"
Jason smiled. "I was the son of the chief of state," he said. "For me, this is an ordinary night at home." Zek shook his head. "Diplomacy wasn't something the Shadow Academy cared much about."
"I guess not."
Han loomed up at Jason's shoulder. A broad grin spread across his face. He put an arm around Jason's shoulders.
"Now let me tell you about my graduation night," he began.
"It was lovely," Leia said. "I had tears in my eyes."
"The ceremony was mostly Cal's work," Luke said. "He's got a flair for dramatics that I didn't know existed."
"My children," Leia sighed, "all grown up, and the Jedi have them now."
Luke looked at her. "Does that bother you?"
"A little. Sometimes I wish they'd grown up to be something other than Jedi.
Something safe."
"But," she sighed again, "that's not going to happen in our family, is it?"
Luke tried to picture Ben grown up, sitting at a desk cluttered with actuarial tables.
"I guess not."
Leia looked at him narrowly.
"What happened when you talked to Jaina? I could feel it in the Force, but I don't know what it was I felt."
Luke hesitated. "I'd rather not say. It's for Jaina to tell you."
"Hmm."
Leia looked at him suspiciously, then decided not to pursue it.
She gave a sidelong glance toward Lando Calrissian, who stood nearby chatting with Tribok. She leaned close to Luke and lowered her voice.
"How did Lando and Talon Card get Cal elected?" she asked. "Do you know?"
"I don't, but we can make a highly educated guess."
Leia bit her lip.
"I hate to just ask, but we should know.
We're going to have to try to protect Cal when it all comes out."
"You think it'll become public knowledge?"
"I know it will."
Her eyes hardened.
"Right now we've got smugglers controlling a swing vote in the Senate. That's not a good thing, and the New Republic is going to pay for it."
Luke looked at Lando appraisingly.
"We should have a talk with Captain Calrissian."
Leia nodded.
"Yes, and soon."
Jason patiently listened to his father's reminiscences until Han was approached by Kenth Hamner, who wanted to find out about what fighter pilots were already calling the solo slingshot, the dive toward a Dovin Basal that could be used to loop a combat craft in an unexpected direction to take the enemy by surprise. While Han was describing his encounter with the Yuuzhan Vong battle group, Jason, who had already heard the story, slipped away to find his sister. Jaina stood with her back against one of the room's side columns, a plate of food held out in front of her like a shield. She gave Jason a dark look as he approached.
"If this is about what Uncle Luke said, I don't want to talk about it."
"Then let's not." He took a fruit-filled pastry from her plate. "I thought we should congratulate each other."
She gave a skeptical tilt to her head.
"Congratulations."
"Congratulations, sis."
Jason popped the pastry into his mouth. The filling oozed onto his tongue as he bit down.
It tasted like the product of an extractive industry specializing in fossilized hydrocarbons, and he coughed.
Jaina grinned as she pounded him on the back. Vile, aren't they? I think the caterer must be a Vratix.
He's in the pay of the Yuuzhan Vong. Jason coughed. He's trying to poison all the Jedi along with the High Command.
He took a swig of geyser ale to wash the foul-tasting pastry down.
That's better.
He looked at her again. The inadvertent comedy had broken the tension between them.
Can we do this congratulations thing again?
He asked. I have a feeling we wrong-footed it the first time.
She smiled. Sure. My fault.
She put the tray on a nearby table, then embraced him and kissed his cheek.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
He held Jaina against him for a moment, feeling in the force the twin bond that united them, and then stepped back.
You've always been my best friend, you know, and you've been mine.
She looked over his shoulder at someone in the crowd.
I see Danny Quee is here. Have you talked to her yet tonight?
Not yet. She gave a little smile.
Are you and Danny seeing each other?
He blinked in surprise.
No, not that way. Or anyway, I don't think so.
Jaina laughed.
You don't think so? Don't you think you'd know?
We don't see each other that way.
I don't think.
I mean, she's 5 years older than I am.
Dad's older than Mom. What does that matter?
And Danny's so accomplished. She's brilliant. She's got all those science degrees. I don't see why she'd be interested in me. All I know how to do is be a Jedi.
Jaina found this hilarious. She tried to strangle her laughter, but all that did was turn her red and send tears popping from her eyes.
She's so accomplished. I'm just a Jedi. Laughter choked the words, and from Jason Solo.
Jason tried to gather the shreds of his dignity.
I don't see what's so funny.
She patted him on the shoulder and wiped the tears from her eyes.
That's fine, brother. I'm hardly the one to advise anybody on romance.
Suddenly, Jason was very interested.
Oh, yes? And what does that mean?
She looked at him in the dawning knowledge that she'd just made a mistake.
It means what it means, she said.
Who does it mean? Jason asked.
She looked away, then sighed.
Jagged Fell, she said.
Jason was astonished. You must be joking. That stuck-up fighter pilot.
Jaina scowled. You don't know anything about him. He's not really like that.
If you say so.
There was a moment of silence. Jason thought it might be an apt time to move off this topic.
What are you doing tomorrow? He asked. I don't know how much of this planet you've seen, but we could go.
She shook her head. I'm shipping out with the rest. Back to Kashyyyk.
He looked at her in surprise. Why are you leaving now?
Her defiant look was back.
I was on a special mission from Creefe. It's over. I'm bringing his Jedi back, and I'm going back with them.
You're on a 2-week furlough. I've seen the data pads. They're on the table in the room we're sharing.
Jaina sighed. I've learned some new tactics since I've been here. One of them Dad's slingshot maneuver. We've got a bunch of new Jedi to integrate into the command system. I'm needed back on Kashyyyk, drilling all this new material into the fleet.
Every moment you're here, the Yuuzhan Vong are getting stronger.
Jason half-quoted.
That's right. Besides, she added, you heard Uncle Luke. I'm the sword of the Jedi. I'm always in the front rank. Peace is not my job.
Jason tried to navigate through the thorns he sensed springing up around his sister.
The Yuuzhan Vong may be getting stronger while you're here, but if you don't get some time to relax, I don't see you getting stronger at all.
It's not just me. I've got 11 other pilots in my squadron to look after, and half of them are rookies. And if I don't beat them to pieces in training, the Vong are going to blow them to pieces in combat.
She shook her head, then looked at him. "It's all right, you know," she said. "I've accepted my own death."
Jason looked at her in surprise and horror.
"You haven't," he stammered.
"You haven't felt your death in the Force, no."
Her eyes were strangely without animation, as if these were words she'd spoken a thousand times before.
"But I can count. I can count the enemy, and I can count the number of friends who have been killed, and I can count the number of battles before we can hope to end the war, and the number of shots that are going to be fired in my direction in those battles. I don't have to do anything wrong to be killed. I don't have to make a mistake. All that I need to do is be there long enough, and it'll happen."
She looked at him, and with a half-smile reached out to touch his shoulder.
"But it's all right. It's what I've sworn to do. All that will happen is that I'll join the Force, and I'm part of the Force already, so with luck, I'll hardly even notice the change."
"All life is precious," Jason urged. "All life is unique. You shouldn't just throw yours away."
"Any capstan was precious and unique," Jaina said.
"So was Yulaha Kor.
So was Anakin.
Uniqueness isn't a protection."
She looked at him.
"And I'm not throwing anything away. I'm just looking at the odds. And I'm not arrogant enough to believe that I'm an exception when so many of our friends aren't."
She looked at him.
"There is no death. There is the Force.
Didn't we all just say that?"
"I'm not just saying it, I'm living it."
"Don't cut us off from you," Jason said. "We need you too."
Jaina's look softened.
"When you need me, I'll do my best to be there. That's a promise. That's being a Jedi, too."
She walked away quickly, leaving Jason looking after her. Then he turned and gazed blindly into the crowd. It was only then that he saw, amid taller figures, the small figure of Vergere. At any other time, he would have been delighted to see her, but now he felt too troubled to talk to anyone. But she saw him and came toward him, and he tried to put a smile on his face as she arrived.
"You are now a Jedi Knight," she said. "Felicitations."
"Did you see the ceremony?"
"I did not."
Her wide mouth drew down in disapproval.
"The ceremony was a piece of political theater. Jedi should have nothing to do with such things. When I was made a Jedi Knight, it was simple. 'A Jedi Knight you are,' Yoda said, and that was that. What more should we need?"
"But you're here." Jason looked at the assembled dignitaries. "This gathering is political as well.
I came for personal reasons, to see you and wish you well."
Jason looked at her. "Thank you.
I wonder, now that you are a Jedi Knight, if you have made any plans?"
Jason shrugged. "I'm on vacation until Uncle Luke says I'm not. And then, unless Uncle Luke has other ideas, I'll join the fleet like the rest."
Vergere made a churring noise.
"Why, your nature is not that of a military man."
Jason nodded. "No, it's not. But the Yuuzhan Vong have to be defeated, and I can help.
And I'll be with my friends. And your sister."
Vergere's eyes were almost accusing.
"And my sister," Jason nodded. Her expression grew severe.
"A Jedi Knight must not decide as a child decides."
Jason looked at the avian in surprise. "Are you trying to tell me something?"
"I cannot speak to those whose ears are blocked."
Jason took a sip of his drink and glanced around the room. "Then let's talk about the weather."
"Sunny, light clouds, small chance of rain."
Vergere's tone was acid. Jason smiled. "Sounds like a good day to visit the reef." Vergere huffed again. Jason glanced again over the room and saw Luke talking seriously to Kalumas and Relikiakla.
You can't tell me that in the old days your Jedi masters didn't consult with politicians. You served the Supreme Chancellor, after all.
Chancellors came and went, Vergara said. We served the Republic.
Master Skywalker, Jason said, is on his fourth Chief of State.
That is as it should be.
For once, Jason sensed grudging respect in Vergara's words. Jason's eyes traveled the room, and he saw the gaunt figure of Diff Scour speaking with Silgall. He remembered Danny's telling him about Scour's project, the one involving Yuuzhan Vong bioscience. Some of our biogeneticists may have found the genes that keep the Yuuzhan Vong isolated from the Force, he said. He could sense Vergara's hyper-alertness through the Force.
Tell me, she said.
Jason told the little avian about the Yuuzhan Vong's genetics, which had proven to be largely compatible with the human, the exception being a unique strand that seemed common to all Vong-formed life. I suppose that could be responsible for the Yuuzhan Vong not being discernible in the Force, Jason said. But he fell silent when he became aware that Vergara had ceased to pay attention. Her crest had fluffed forward, as had her antennae, and she radiated intense concentration. When she finally spoke, it was as if she was speaking to herself.
"It is as I feared," she said.
Urgency rang in Vergara's voice. "Who else knows this? Who?"
"It's been kept very secret," Jason said. "You and I and Danny know. And the scientists themselves, but they've been placed in seclusion.
Who has them?" Jason nodded his head toward Diff Scour.
"New Republic Intelligence," he said.
Vergara looked at Scour's cadaverous figure. Jason could feel the intensity of Vergara's gaze through the Force, and was glad she wasn't turning this scrutiny on him. Vergara's crest swept back, and she gave a little ominous hiss.
"I can imagine what happens next," she judged. "And there is another evil."
"What?" Jason was bewildered. "What evil?" Vergara swung back to him.
"You cannot guess, young Jedi?" she asked.
She gave a dry little laugh.
"Despite all your adventures, I fear that you possess insufficient experience of depravity."